This program is not about appreciating poetry and philosophy as much as it is about applying the wisdom of these writers to our everyday life. All of the selections in this recording convey messages from sensitive, highly creative, and productive individuals who were alive here on planet Earth at one time, just as you and I are today. I feel a bit presumptuous including a selection of my very own in this assemblage of splendor from so many supreme poets, artists, and philosophers of the past, but I have chosen to because I want you to know the story behind the poetic effort from someone who is still here to share his reasons for writing it. So I conclude this recording with a poem I wrote for my wife, Marceline, and hope that you too will take pen in hand and toss aside fear of embarrassment, ridicule, or unfair comparisons to the great poets, and give your innermost feelings a chance to be expressed to those you love. This selection is titled Brisbane, because that is the city in Northern Australia back in 1989, where I felt and knew absolutely beyond any doubt that there was a force at work in the universe called by me God. It was my introduction to knowing God, whereas up until that day I had only known about God. Brisbane, where God was revealed to us. Only the two of us know the magic and awe of that presence. Against impossible odds, our connection to eternity further reinforced, strengthened. Yet the paradox always lingers. We are in control, we are not in control. Doomed to make choices. All I am certain of is our love, embedded in forever. My wife Marceline and two of our children, who were 1.5 and 3.5 at the time, were with me on a speaking tour of Australia in the winter of 1989. I spoke to a large gathering of people during the day, and we returned exhausted to our hotel in Brisbane and retired for the evening. I had one of the children in my bed while Marceline slept and nursed the baby in the adjoining bed. At 4:05 a.m., something that had never happened before or since occurred to startle me beyond anything I could describe here. My wife awakened from a deep sleep and began to rearrange the room. She took our 3.5-year-old out of my bed and put her with our little 1.5-year-old boy. She proceeded to get into my bed and to snuggle up next to me. This was uncharacteristic of Marceline, particularly because she was nursing our son full time. I was in a semi-conscious state of shock, thinking I was having a dream. My wife had been either nursing or pregnant for the previous 8 years, and consequently had completely halted her menstrual cycle. Furthermore, she had been assured that she could not get pregnant again because of a surgical procedure in which one ovary had been removed. But to be certain, we practiced birth control, and I withdrew at the critical moment to put an exclamation point on our precaution. Yet, despite all of this, at 4:05 a.m. in Brisbane, Australia, our youngest daughter, Sage Icus Irene Dyer, was conceived and brought into our world on 16 November 1989. What awoke my wife at that instant? What caused this strange behavior by a woman who was always in control to appear to be almost obsessed? What force was operating that night? Who was in charge here? Sage has been a uniting force of love in our marriage, yet when I discovered that my wife was pregnant from that wonderfully bizarre middle-of-the-night obsession, I knew, as did Marceline, that there were forces working to bring that little angel into the material world through us, that went way beyond our decision to not have any more children. Surgery, birth control, withdrawal, an absence of a female cycle with which to keep track of ovulation, and being sound asleep in a foreign land are all insignificant minor obstacles to a life force that strives to manifest into our material world. On Mother's Day, 1989, I wrote the Brisbane poem for my wife and put it in a framed collage of our Australia trip. But no matter how many words I write and how desperately I attempt to convey the specialness of that experience, as I wrote, only the two of us know the magic and awe of that presence. From that time until now, I have never experienced one moment of doubt about the presence of God in my life. I do not engage in long arguments with disbelievers, nor do I feel any particular need to convince anyone of what I know. I simply express it in my writing and my lectures, and yes, in my own little poetic expression written to and for my wife, I go back to that moment and my connection to that divine, awakening, all-pervasive, omnipresent force is reinforced and strengthened. I also know through this experience that every soul which manifests into a human being is also a part of this divine drama. We like to think that we are the ones in charge of such matters, yet a big part of me knows that nothing can stop a determined soul. and the paradox of the statement, doomed to make choices, is evident at all times. That is, we are in control and we are not in control, all at the same time, and learning to live with this enigma is a big part of what knowing God is all about. You arrived here through a similar miraculous scenario. Your heart started beating inside of your mother's womb a few weeks after conception, and it's a total mystery to everyone on our planet. How does something come from nothing? Where was that life before conception? What happens in the instant of creation? We are all walking, breathing, talking paradoxes, and perhaps we do best to let go of the intellectual struggle and accept with a loving heart while being certain of our love embedded in forever. By all means, hang on to the awe and appreciate every moment of life and every molecule of creation. But somewhere, deep down inside of you, in a tiny corner of your awareness, know for certain that there is one divine presence at work in you and in the entire universe as well, and that it never makes a mistake, despite what you may have come to believe over the years. This is an intelligent system that we are all a part of, and we all make our entrances and exits precisely on time. This last selection is my message to you as my tribute to that all-revealing back in early 1989. Be certain of one thing as expressed in A Course in Miracles, and as I have attempted to convey to you here in this final part of the recording. It is the one and only suggestion I personally want to offer you and leave with you. So do realize that it is very difficult to pick a fight with someone who has no interest in fighting. She wasn't trying to change me with her behavior. She was responding peacefully from her commitment to nonviolent behavior. As you listen to these beautiful words of Dr. King, remind yourself that your objective in choosing to be a nonviolent